of contemporary drawings opening this Friday, today, November 2nd, 6 p.m. at Girls Club in downtown Fort Lauderdale. More information at girlsclubcollection.org, funded in part by Broward Cultural Division. The time is 1:07.
The Adrian Arst Center presents a visually and emotionally gripping full-length contemporary ballet, Light, the Holocaust and Humanity Project. Performed by the nationally acclaimed company Ballet Austin, Light shines the spotlight on discrimination and the ultimate triumph of the human spirit. A masterful exposition on one of history's darkest episodes, said the Austin American Statesman. November 3rd and 4th. Information at arstcenter.org.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on our program, founder and CEO of the fledgling Miami Jazz Fest, Carmen Cartelia, shares his excitement about his 5-year commitment to great American music. Our arts calendar today features Andy Newman with enticing Florida Keys events. Founded in 1982, the independent record label GRP Records cut a broad and quite distinctive path throughout the world and launched numerous musical careers in great American music, jazz. Founded by musicians, producers, and entrepreneurs Dave Grusin and Larry Rosen, GRP Records broke ground both artistically and commercially with hundreds of releases. The label was the first to adopt the new digital recording technology for all of its releases, launch every release on the CD medium worldwide, and became known as the Digital Master Company. Universal Music has now released GRP 30, the Digital Master Company's 30th anniversary. It's a double CD set. Our guest today, Mr. Larry Rosen, produced over 350 albums with 80 Grammy nominations and 33 Grammy Awards. He was the recipient of the Ernst & Young's prestigious Entrepreneur of the Year Award in New Media and Entertainment. As well, he was the recipient of the National Association of Recording Arts and Sciences Governor's Award and was inducted into the A&R Producers Hall of Fame. He is the creator and producer of the PBS television HD series Legends of Jazz, hosted by Ramsey Lewis, and is currently producing another TV series and multimedia performance program titled Recording, the History of Recorded Music with hosts Quincy Jones and Phil Ramone. He is the executive producer of South Florida's quite successful Jazz Roots series, now in its 5th year at the Arst Center. And we want to welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat Mr. Larry Rosen.
Well, thank you, Ed. Wow. Wow, what a long intro.
That intro
did I do all that
me.
Stuff?
It exhausted me. And gosh, you're only 29. It's just amazing, Larry. I think you have a painting in your cellar. Larry, take us back to the late 70s and early 80s and tell us how GRP Records became a reality. You and Dave Grusin were working musicians in Andy Williams' orchestra, correct?
Right. Dave actually hired me when I was like 20 years old in New York City to go out and work a week with Andy Williams. He was the conductor and pianist for Andy. And I went out and I did that gig with them, and then they offered me the job, basically. I guess I passed the audition. And I stayed with Andy and with Dave for like 6 years, traveling all around the world. So that was a pretty exciting thing. So for Dave and I, we were kind of brothers on the road. You know, you get to be road warriors together, and you spend a lot of time together, and you know what each other is thinking about.
Now, how did Grusin Rosen Productions develop?
Well, you know, Dave and I started with, there was an artist in New York named John Lucien.
A marvelous artist. We miss him.
Wonderful artist. I agree, 100%. Just a very unique, wonderful artist. He came from St. Thomas. He was in New York City, and we played in some bands together. He played bass and guitar. And he started one day, and I was in a studio, and he played some original songs. I said, John, these are just beautiful. Mm. We should make a record together. He said, sure. So we recorded some of the things. I went to RCA Records, had a meeting with some people, not knowing what I was doing at all at that particular time, and actually worked out a deal to produce a number of albums of his for RCA. And when I had those tracks, I sent them out to Dave, who at that point started to really get involved in writing film scores and television shows, which he's, you know, he's won Oscar signatures and so on and so forth. And I said, I'd love you to write the arrangements for these John Lucien tracks. What do you think? And I sent to him, he said, great. So he came to New York. We worked on that first record together, and that won a Grammy Award, and we said, why don't we form a company and produce together, and it became Gruson Rosen Productions, which ultimately became GRP Records.
Now, in 1982, you all wanted to go into the record business full-time, I guess, and Dave really became took care of musical responsibilities, and you took over mostly the office responsibilities, is that
true? Not necessarily. It would ebb and flow. We're both musicians, so it would be Dave hated the business side of the thing, and not that I was totally,
sure, focused. He'd been in Hollywood. No.
Right. Not, I wasn't totally focused on being a business guy. I mean, I'd had no training in that. But I taught myself engineering, so I was really involved in a lot of the recording technology and so on. So Dave and I would sit with an artist that we'd think about producing, started with people like Angela Beaufil and Tom Brown and Dave Valentine and Earl Klugh, and we started with all these artists. And a lot of these artists, this was the first records they ever made. So we had to sit down and say, well, what kind of setting should this be in? What kind of material should we be doing? Where is the market for this? And we'd do that together, pick out the things, go into the studio, record the records, deliver the records to the record company, and then it was up to the record company. Well, somebody had to coordinate with the record company, and since Dave didn't want to have any part of that whatsoever, it fell into my hands. So all of a sudden, I became a business guy, learning on the job how to do that. And we had some very logical approach to that thing. We thought what we liked, and if our friends liked it, well, why wouldn't other people like it? So,
sure.
Your instincts come out, and we just followed that path.
Did you kind of miss being a hands-on kind of guy in the studios? I remember you doing a lot of recording in Jimi Hendrix's facility, Electric Ladyland in New York, and the famous A&R studios in New York. Is that where you wanted to be?
I love music, period. So being a player, being a drummer, I love playing. And that's like a real special place to be a musician and a performer. And once we started putting these records together, I had the opportunity to hire Steve Gadd or Javi Mason or some of the greatest drummers in the world. I said, well, why don't I hire them to play? Because they're my idols in a certain kind of way. So it became very easy for me to step from one position into the other. I felt creatively I was still, having my creative juice satisfied by doing what I was doing. So producing your records and doing the engineering and mixing and everything is very intriguing, and I love that creative effort as well. When it got into running record companies and doing that, I also saw it from that perspective. I also see that as a very creative element of how do you bring the music to larger audiences? How do you take an artist that's new and get the audience aware of who he is? And how do you help further their career? And how do you spread the word about music? So whether it's being in the studio or being behind the scenes or producing records or concerts, as you said, or television shows, I'm there as a producer to do any of the above. Don't ask me to play the drums anymore. I haven't done that for long time.
I'm sure you have a little set in your living room at home somewhere that you have fun with. Now, did you and Dave feel that you were taking a chance on this new digital media? Because the technology comes and goes. I mean, we aren't going to be using the 8-track anytime soon. And
no question about it. I mean, we have been on the leading edge of technology on a lot of different aspects of this music business, and a lot of people call it the bleeding edge because never mind the leading edge, because you get punched in the face a lot while you're doing it, because you never know. You're inventing it as it's going along. There's no precedent set before whatever you do. So, first of all, starting a record company like GRP completely independently, financing it ourselves, was an incredible risky situation. As a matter of fact, just a short side story, every advisor that we had between lawyers and accountants saying that two musicians starting a record company, and we had to mortgage our houses to get money to do this thing, was the most insane thing that you could happen, because two musicians starting a record company is a formula for disaster. So that was the advice that we got.
And there's a legion of labels that kind of show an example to that. Charles Mingus had his own label. I think Charlie Parker had his own label. They didn't last too long.
They don't. And I think that speaks to the chemistry between Dave and I. I mean, you know, his incredible musicianship and his the high bar of writing and playing and everything is just, you know, set a standard. Mm-hmm. And my thing, I had to meet that standard. So whatever I had to do from an audio standpoint, from a marketing standpoint, from everything, a production standpoint, it had to be at that standard. And if you create something really exceptional, I think, and you know how to market it, I think audiences are going to like it. And they did.
Tell us about pushing your presence worldwide. What kind of effort was that? I'm sure it was quite an organic effort, growing year to year, but I'm sure it was very hard.
But it was a very unique time. You know, when things are changing as an entrepreneur, that's where the opportunities lie. Mm. They don't lie in the status quo. When everything's staying at one place, then nothing happens. It's very difficult to break in if you're somebody new and on the scene. But there was a revolution taking place in the music businesses. Was this digital technology. Compact discs were going to come in. There was digital recording. Most of the status quo was not in favor of that. The retail stores, the Tower Records, didn't even want to carry CDs because they didn't fit in the bin. They didn't want to refigure the configuration of the store, and they figured it was an audiophile product. The record companies already had plans to manufacture LPs and cassettes. Why would they want to make another configuration? It cost $50 million to build a CD plant, so they rejected it. When we started with this technology, since we traveled back and forth to Japan a lot, JVC was manufacturing our CDs in Japan because there were no manufacturing plants in the United States. Mm-hmm. So we would send the masters, digital masters, to Japan. We'd order 5,000 discs of something. They'd send it back to us. By the time we went to put them into the marketplace, they were all sold. Then we ordered 10,000. Then we needed 20,000. It was off the chart. The demand became enormous. Mm-hmm. And they started to be sold in the stereo shops that were selling actually the equipment, not in the music stores, not in the traditional music stores. So when somebody bought a CD player in 1983 or 1984, the first thing they needed was CDs. They weren't going to play their LPs on their CD player. And what was available? GRP CDs. Mm-hmm. So it was a bonanza at the beginning. We could not keep up with the demand, and that's why people like Chick Corea and Gary Burton and Patty Austin and all these artists came to GRP because they wanted to be with two musicians and they wanted to be involved in the new technology.
Your reputation was solid throughout the industry. I remember back in the early 80s, I actually had to bring in a CD player to play CDs on my Sunday night radio show. I think it might have been the first such usage of a CD player, and I thank my wife for buying that for me. And so the industry took a little while to get up to speed. Now, you certainly had to dump the DAT tapes. Because
right.
I remember eons ago, you all were pushing the DAT tapes. But we'll talk more about technology and the great GRP label. Let's not forget the wonderful GRP 30, the Digital Master Company 30th Anniversary 2-CD set has been released by GRP through Verve Music Group, and more info at vervemusicgroup.com. Jazz Roots we'll be talking about coming up in our next segment, jazzroots.net, and larryrosen.com for more info. Our guest today, the co-founder and executive producer of GRP Records, Larry Rosen. We'll be back in just a moment.
At 20 past one, it's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN. Great to have you along. We are funded by listeners like you and by South Florida Dental Implant Group. Dental implants can alleviate the discomfort of dentures, loss of taste, and difficulty chewing. The South Florida Dental Implant Group, dedicated to giving you the freedom to chew. Details at 1-800-541-3010.
This week at O Cinema, The Waiting Room depicts 24 hours inside America's busiest hospital, and Meet the Falcons, an amusing look at 69-year-old twin sister prostitutes. Also, Somewhere Between tells the story of Chinese adoptees in America. Details at o-cinema.org.
The movie Bag It, Is Your Life Too Plastic? Follows Jeb Barrier as he embarks on a quest to figure out where plastic bags come from, where they end up, and what they're doing in our environment. It's a humorous look at a serious topic. You can see the film and meet the filmmaker and actor following the screening of Bag It, Is Your Life Too Plastic? Thursday, November 8th at the Miramar Cultural Center. Tickets and information at 954-602-4500 or miramarculturalcenter.org.
Thank you.
We have about 21 minutes past the hour here on South Florida Arts Beat. Ed Bell with you and our guest, Mr. Larry Rosen, co-founder and executive producer of GRP Records, with his buddy Dave Grusin and executive producer of the Jazz Roots series, opening up tonight at the Arsht Center. More info at vervemusicgroup.com, jazzroots.net, and larryrosen.com. Now, Larry, as we've mentioned, the double CD box set, GRP 30, the Digital Master Company 30th anniversary set, has been released as of late September. But you all are going to continue to reissue your classic recordings, and 10 are scheduled to be released in high-res audio format. Explain that.
Yeah. That's really through iTunes. iTunes has come up with our higher resolution format, you mm-hmm. know, more quality-oriented sound than what has been previously presented to people. And so they felt that this would be an ideal recordings to utilize for that, since they were all such high-quality recordings to start with. So these are going to be reissued from time to time moving forward here, some of the classic GRP releases. You know, the Chick Corea and Diane Shore and the Count Basie Orchestra and mm-hmm. Dave Valentine and so many, Patty Austin, Lee Ritenour, so many wonderful artists. Michael Brecker will all be released in this high-res format.
And don't forget one of my favorites, GRP All-Star Big Band.
All right.
Heck of a recording. So let's go on to your International Jazz Vocal Competition, the one that you're involved with, the Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Vocal Competition. Set that up for us.
Well, you know, this is through Jazz Roots, which has been incredible. It started mm-hmm. here in Miami. It was mm-hmm. something as an adventurous move here in Miami at the Arts Center to come up with this jazz series. And it became so successful here in Miami, which we're celebrating the 5th anniversary this year. Now, that I'm getting calls from performing arts centers all across America to bring the Jazz Roots series to those
cities.
Bring the
success to us, please.
Okay, bring the success. Bring that Miami vibe here. So in Newark, New Jersey, Sarah Vaughan came from there, and they came to me and they said, we'd like to put together a Sarah Vaughan competition. Would you do that? Could you put that together for us? I said, of course. So we reached out utilizing indabamusic.com, which is an incredible online kind of a, I guess you would call it a networking system for musicians all around the world. They have like a million members to this thing. Mm. And this went out through their system, and people all over the world entered this competition. And from that, we narrowed it down through a number of levels of adjudication down to 5 finalists and a Sarah Vaughan Rising Star awardee for each year. And we call the award the Sassy Award, named after Sarah Vaughan. And just about a week ago on Sunday, we brought all those finalists together and we did our final show with John Hendricks, Dee Dee Bridgewater,
wow.
Just a whole host that was, it was American Idol for jazz vocalists. Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. a wonderful panel. And the bottom line is we selected the winners, and Cyril Amé was the winner of this, who's just a wonderful singer. Believe it or not, grew up in France, moved to the United States, and I did interviews with every one of these singers. And she learned by sitting around campfires with gypsies how to play the guitar and sing. And from that, she got exposed to Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli.
Wow.
So she came to jazz from a whole other point of view. There's wonderful singers that have come from all across the nation, and I'm going to bringing some of these singers on our Jazz Roots concert.
I was hoping you'd say that. You have really scheduled great performances, national and international talent that we all grew up with and love for the 5 years of the Jazz Roots series. Let's talk about that. Good luck on the Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Vocal Competition, and wonderful that you want to bring us some new talent, because jazz needs to continue.
Always.
It needs to move on. So the Jazz Roots series opens up tonight with a tribute to Nat King Cole. What a stellar composer, performer, a great jazz pianist that people seem to forget
right.
about himself.
He started his career as a pianist. That's why I think mm-hmm. it's so interesting when you look at George Benson's career, because both of them started out primarily as instrumentalists and then kind of moved into the vocal side of it. And if you take somebody like Nat King Cole, as you said, people know him as a vocalist and probably don't know what an incredible jazz pianist he is or was. There's no question about that.
Who else is on the bill tonight?
Well, Freddie Cole, which is brother of Nat King Cole, and also the Mancini Institute Orchestra, which we have. That's like our house band for jazz roots.
From the U of M.
From the U of M.
And your success is spilling over into so many other areas. Just here in South Florida, it's incredible. There's a magnificent a momentum going on, and as you say, it's happening all over the country. You are part and parcel of a resurgence for jazz. Tell me about the PBS television HD series, Legends of Jazz, hosted by Ramsey Lewis. One of the PBS affiliates in this four-county area was running it, and is it still ongoing?
Well, it's you know, different PBS stations pick it up whenever they want to. I mean, it was an ongoing 1 hour specials, and then a series that went on for like 13 consecutive weeks, and then so we're finding a lot of reruns now, but we're still discussing with sponsors about supporting that show because it's just a wonderful show. I mean, it meets everything that I believe in. It's how do you bring the wide range of music to audiences? You know, when I look at jazz, I don't look at a very narrow box. That's why when we look at jazz roots or we look at the television shows that they do or even going back to GRP and the types of artists in the recording, they could range from Latin music. It could be the blues. I mean, we on GRP, we did B.B. King at the Apollo.
Some people
will not say that's, well, what is that? That's not jazz. You know, and we do so many different things. I think it's about American music, and that's what I'm presenting here. You know, and jazz is in some ways the nucleus, is the core of that. It's the DNA of what that's all about. Even today in hip hop, it's jazz that's the DNA of the music. It all comes from jazz roots. It was the drums of Africa, these rhythms, call and response and all that. That plays into all the music that we listen to. That's American music, and that's what I'm presenting.
Magnificent. With enthusiasm, I might
say. With enthusiasm.
Now, we're real excited about your upcoming TV series and multimedia performance program titled Recording the History of Recorded Music. You brought along great musicians and producers, Quincy Jones and Phil Ramone. Exciting.
Oh, it's
just exciting. How far along are you in the production of that?
I'm well along. I've been working on it for 4 years now, so this is one of those, you know, you just keep doing it until you think it's done, and it's the story's never done. As a matter of fact, one of the people who I interviewed for this was Clint Eastwood, and when I sat down with him to talk about this thing, I said, Clint, you know, this is the history of recorded music, and he got, how are you ever going to do that? That's so big. And I'm thinking, this guy just did movies about Iwo Jima from the Japanese point of view, you know, But I realized he was really correct. It is huge. It is such a huge story because it's the story of America. It's the story of America, and it's based on the starting point that we picked, although we go back musically, was really the technology, and that's Thomas Edison coming up with the first recording machine, the first phonograph in 1877, because nothing was ever recorded before that. So one of the greatest American inventors created music, the music industry, for people to share music all over the world. If it wasn't recorded, nobody would have ever heard any of this music.
Sure.
And that dissemination of music actually created all the multi-genres that we had. Because, you know, before that, if Blues Delta artists were playing that in the Blues Delta, if you lived in New York, you would never hear that music.
Yeah.
George Gershwin would have never written Porgy and Bess
if
it wasn't for hearing it in a recorded media. So that's why this changed our society globally. And that's what the premise of this is to talk about American history and connect the dots together with American music all through the years.
How exciting. And you're of such a broad mind production-wise that you're bringing in jazz, you're bringing in Phil Ramone. He'll talk about many other musical genres. And I don't think there's ever been any kind of a concentration on the world of recording.
I don't think so either. You know, everybody knows about pieces of this. I mean, Ken Burns did jazz, and there are pieces, people who've done the history of rock and roll, and different people have done doo-wop and things. But to connect it all together in the big picture and connect the dots to American history is really, I think, a very important piece of American culture to put together. And that's what it's really focused on. And tied together with this whole project is a gigantic education program. Mm. Because I think it's a way of bringing young people in today's technology into understanding when things happened and why they happened. Because music, in many ways, it's our art form. That's what tells you about our history, our culture.
Yes. So magnificent. Larry, you're into so many things. My mind is spinning at this moment. But we want to mention once again the great jazz series, Jazz Roots, continues December 14th with a program called Super Sax, Maceo Parker, Candy Dulfer, Jazz and the Philharmonic, January the 11th, you bring to town. This is just amazing. Bobby McFerrin, Chick Corea, Dave Grusin, Terrence Blanchard with Dr. Shelley Berg from the U of M, and they'll feature the University of Miami Frost School of Music, Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra once again. Plus, Young Arts All-Star Alumni, marvelous for you to bring in different local groups into these magnificent efforts. Monk and Coltrane, February 15th. Kubop, celebrating Diz and Chano, Chano Pozo, March 22nd. And it's an exhausting series. How can you top this for next year?
You know, I have so many ideas, and there's so much happening in music that it's just endless. I could keep going. I just had a meeting with the Art Center, and we talked about, so could we outline the next 4 years?
we want to keep you here, Larry. So for more info about the magnificent fifth annual Jazz Roots series, you can call the box office at the Adrian Arsht Center for the Performing Arts at 305-949-6722. And let's not forget vervemusicgroup.com for more info on the marvelous 30th anniversary GRP double box set, jazzroots.net, and find out about this incredible gentleman, our guest today, at larryrosen.com. Sir, long may you swing. Just amazing.
Thank
you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you so much, Ed.
On
it's
South Florida Arts Beat.
Girls Club, Contemporary Art by Women, presents Following the Line, an exhibition of contemporary drawings from the collection of Francie Bishop Good and David Horvitz, with an opening reception this Friday, November 2nd, from 6 to 9 p.m. Part museum, part art gallery, Girls Club is a nonprofit alternative art space in downtown Fort Lauderdale, presenting exhibitions, workshops, publications, and education programming. Funded in part by Broward Cultural Division. Experience inspiration, the arts.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, 91.5 WKWM. Good afternoon. First National Bank of South Miami presents Chamber South's 41st Annual South Miami Art Festival this weekend from 10 to 6 on Sunset Drive in downtown South Miami with juried artists, international foods, and family entertainment. Details at chambersouth.com.
A tribute to Nat King Cole featuring 10-time Grammy Award-winning guitarist master George Benson will open the Jazz Roots 5th anniversary season on Friday, November 2nd, joined on stage by swinging romantic balladeer Freddie Cole and the University of Miami's Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra. This evening will recapture a glorious chapter in music history, featuring such signature tunes as Unforgettable, Route 66, and Mona Lisa. This festival event with George Benson and Freddie Cole should be a night of jazz that's truly unforgettable. Friday, November 2nd. Information at arshcenter.org.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, we'll feature Andy Newman with his Florida Keys Art and Culture Calendar. Miami will host yet another jazz festival. This is really an amazing season for jazz support here in Miami-Dade County. As part of the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau's Miami Live Music Month's promotion, we'll be able to enjoy the premiere of the Miami Jazz Fest taking place at the Klipsch Amphitheater at Bayfront Park. We recently spoke with founder and CEO, Mr. Carmen Cartelia, to learn more.
Welcome, Mr. Carmen Cartelia, to South Florida Artsbeat.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Great to have you join us today, and really great to have another jazz festival here in Miami. It's been too long, really, but now there's a profusion, and I'm very excited.
It seems jazz is going through a resurgence, and we are just so pleased to be able to take part in it. Miami is known for having a music festival just about every other weekend.
Yes.
But when I looked around, I saw there was no jazz. There are some music festivals that claim to be that, but they incorporate various other types of music, and they're great music festivals, but they're not pure jazz. Our intention was to bring jazz back to Miami, so we have created and founded the Miami Jazz Fest, which is an annual event. It will take place every weekend, starting this year on the weekend before Thanksgiving. This year it happens to be the 17th and 18th, and will continue for the next 5 to 10 years, depending on how long the city wants us here.
Bravo for that dedication, sir. That's really marvelous. Miami needs its own jazz festival. Now, tell me, when did you first discover jazz, and when did you come to appreciate pure jazz?
I grew up in Connecticut, an hour outside of New York City. So in the late 60s and early 70s, I would be back and forth to New York. I'd get down to the Village and just walk from club to club, and 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, you'd walk into a little hole in the wall, and Bucky Pizzarelli would be playing. You go next door, and someone else is playing. It's just the amount of talent that was there was just unbelievable. And as a kid, I didn't realize it. As a kid, I was just enjoying myself, take a date, go in, have a good time. It was only after, as I got a little older, that I really appreciated the amount of just unbelievable talent I was exposed to.
Well, in the 60s, you saw many legends, I'm sure. And
yes.
Do you remember, for instance, a great night at the legendary Village Vanguard, one of the great jazz clubs in jazz Mecca?
I do remember them. I cannot tell you who I saw at this point because I'm getting old.
Not that old.
But I would go from club to club and just never paid attention with, well, who's here?
Yeah.
We would just go in and just enjoy the music.
There's so many great clubs up in,
truly,
in New York
there, there
City.
Are, and there
I'm
were.
Always reading stories about this club and that club. And I do remember one night I was up in New York, and I swear the Village Vanguard levitated. On stage was Pat Metheny's quintet with Branford Marsalis, and the room was floating. So you've loved jazz for a number of decades now. Why produce a festival? It can be a headache.
Well, lots of things are a headache. That's why I have no hair left. My background is in producing and managing trade shows, exhibits, things like that. I'm not retired, but slowed down quite a bit in what I'm doing. I was doing a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. Did not enjoy it anymore. We moved down here 3 years ago from Connecticut. And I took a liking to the lifestyle, the more laid-back, relaxed attitude. So I've been cutting back on my travel schedule, cutting back on my hard productions, looking for something to do locally. Wanted to be able to enjoy myself and work locally without having to get on a plane. I looked around. Music, again, was my love, especially jazz. I found the profusion of different festivals, but again, no jazz festival at that time. So we jumped in. I secured the Klipsch Amphitheater at Bayfront Park, working with the guys there who were just very, very helpful. And we've secured that locale for at least the next 5 years and beyond.
So Saturday night, November 17th, Sunday, November 18th, you will bring to South Florida once again some really great performers, as well as feature some great South Floridians, which I'm so happy that you've done. Let's start talking about Saturday night, November 17th. You've dedicated it to the sound of Brazil jazz.
Yes. One of the things that we are doing to keep our festival fresh and new is we are going to feature a different country each year. It was only natural that we start with the sound of Brazil. Brazil has contributed so much to the jazz industry and so much to the culture that we felt it was a perfect starting place.
Yeah.
And with the large Brazilian community, we felt it would be something to honor the country, to honor them, and hopefully they would turn out and support it. We have a lineup that is just stellar. The Trio de Paz, named the best Brazilian trio in the country for, I think, the third year running.
I might tell you, a favorite of Dean Shelley Berg's, and he's holding forth at the University of Miami Frost School of Music.
Wonderful. I hope he's there with us. I hope he comes and joins the evening.
I'm sure he will.
Maosha Adnet. Maosha used to tour with Tone Jobim. She was his vocalist, I think, for 2.5-3 years. Antonio Adolfo, a local legend. Mm-hmm. He plays beautifully. It's
and
just
teaching
to listen to him.
In Hollywood, right?
He's got a great studio up in Hollywood, yes. Patty Asher is supported by the Brazilian government. She is so good that they have her go around the world promoting the Brazilian culture and music.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Carter is the only American performing that night. Joe is considered the leading Brazilian jazz guitarist in the Northeast. Mm. Joe played straight-out jazz for many years, went to Brazil 10, 12 years ago, fell in love with the culture, with the music, and has recorded both there as well as stateside for many, many years. Just a great, great artist.
Now, other than local Antonio Adolfo, you have yet another great
Rose
Brazilian.
Max will be performing at our pre-show. Doors open at 4:30. The show actually starts at 6, but Rose will be performing from 4:30 to 6 to welcome and greet people as they come in.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for booking her. She is just dynamite.
She is.
Now, let's move to Sunday, November 18th. And one of my favorites, I presume he might be your headliner.
Yes, sir, Mr. Monty Alexander.
Bravo.
Monty will be with us. He will close our show to his thunderous applause, which he always gets.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, again, another phenomenal lineup for Sunday. Straight ahead, hard-hitting, pure jazz, no holes barred, it's going to rock. Don Friedman, his quartet. Don has been around forever, played with all the greats. Mike DeRubo is a up-and-coming young Turk. He's considered one of the greats coming up, and you'll hear a lot about him in the future.
A new name to me.
Yes. Jesse Jones, a local. Jesse is just a great sax player, and he tours all over the world performing in different jazz festivals, but we're lucky enough to have him here locally with us, and he has consented to play as well.
Yeah, he got the chance to retire a few years ago, so he's worldwide now.
Yes, he is. Warren Chasson is a vibe player. Again, another one. These guys are all old school. They've all been around for a while. Giacomo Gates, vocalist. Giacomo's new CD came out 6 months ago, I think it was. And it was the top played jazz vocalist across the country. We're going to end the evening with Jack Wilkins Quartet and our guitarist, Bucky Pizzarelli.
Wow.
What a lineup.
Classic
it's
names.
Just going to be, it's going to be old school. It's going to be a great, great treat.
And yet another great South Floridian on that Sunday
yes,
bill.
Yes, sir. Bobby Lee Rogers will be joining us. He will be helping us out as well.
Now, Carmen, do you have a number of ticket levels that you can buy? We don't want to speak about tickets specifically, but do you have the VIP packages?
We've got it all. We've got lawn seating. We've got reserved chair seating. We've got VIP passes. You can go to our website and you can see the different strata. Visit us at MiamiJazzFest.com. Not festival, fest, FEST.com. Or you can call us at 305-405-JAZZ, which equates to 305-405-5299. And you can go online, you can hit our tickets tab, and you can buy tickets online. Or there's a number here.
That would be 1-800-745-3000.
I also want to say I'm very, very proud of the fact that the Brazilian Council is behind us. The downtown organizations are helping us promote this and are supporting us and have welcomed us truly with open arms.
And in our last 30 seconds, you can briefly tell us about a portion of each ticket will benefit a charity. A
portion of each ticket will go to the American Society for Scleroderma Research, ASFSR. This is a foundation that is very near and dear to us, and we are going to make a donation to them.
Well, we want to say thank you so much for coming to Miami to do this. We need a consistent annual real jazz festival. And event founder and producer Carmen Cartiglia, thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you for having me. We look forward to being a regular here.
And once again, for more information about the Miami Jazz Fest, taking place November 17th and 18th at the Klipsch Amphitheater at Bayfront Park in downtown Miami, go to MiamiJazzFest.com or call 305-405-JAZZ. And that translates to 5299. You can also find more information on MiamiLiveMusicMonth.com.
Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment.
It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN. Good evening. Good afternoon. You can celebrate Harvest Drive's 20-year of anniversary of Children Helping Children Sunday at Western Town Center's Community for Day and Collection. Harvest Drive provides families a week's groceries plus fixings for Thanksgiving dinner. Details at harvestdriveflorida.com, brought to you by the Children's Services Council of Broward County. The Bill Cosford Cinema at the University of Miami presents the Fresh Opera and Ballet Festival. It's a celebration of the world's best operas and ballets performed by renowned companies from around the world. Showtimes and more details at cosfordcinema.com. And celebrities create an aura of excitement around the 27th annual Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival, featuring premieres of top new independent films and world cinema, trendy parties and gatherings, now through November 11th. Details and tickets at fliff.com.
The Million Dollar Quartet coming to the Broward Center is a story about Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis Presley. And Million Dollar Quartet is inspired by the true story of the electrifying night when they all play together. Basically, it's an hour and a half of the best rock and roll songs, all performed live. It's like you're right there while history is being made. The music you'll remember, their story, you're not likely to forget. Million Dollar Quartet coming to the Broward Center November 6th through the 18th. Tickets at browardcenter.org.
And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar.
And we welcome back Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Did you survive Fantasy Fest, Andy?
I did survive Fantasy Fest, and about 50,000 other people survived that Captain Morgan Fantasy Fest parade.
Bravo.
On Saturday night. So no, it was a really good Fantasy Fest, and you know, we were very, very fortunate to turn a little more serious topic. We were very fortunate that Hurricane Sandy skirted well to the east of us. We got a little bit of rain from it, but it didn't really dampen the Fantasy Fest spirit. But I will tell you that we are thinking very, very deeply about the folks in the Northeast that did get impacted by Sandy, and we wish them all the well in the world and a very fast recovery.
We certainly do. Well, what's happening in our beautiful Florida Keys?
Well, we've got this weekend, you know what, you need to start the Margaritaville music here. I need that Margaritaville music.
Margaritaville.
And it is the 21st annual Parent Heads in Key West, the Meeting of the Minds Convention. Actually started yesterday, continues through Sunday. Thousands of fans of singer-songwriter, author Jimmy Buffett, they're known as Parent Heads. They make this annual pilgrimage to the subtropical island. And, of course, you know, Jimmy Buffett lived in Key West, and it was indeed Key West and Margaritaville that made him so famous. Now, there's a bit of a serious side of this whole thing besides having the fun and promoting and having an appreciation for Buffett's music. But the Parent Head Club members actually focus on a number of charitable, environmental, educational, and humanitarian activities.
And a great time will be had by all, I'm sure. And I know there's a lot more going on in the fabulous Florida Keys, Andy. What's next?
Absolutely. Let's go up to Marathon, November 2nd to the 3rd this weekend. The Marathon Community Theater is presenting Hats Off to Broadway. Now, this is one weekend only. It's a weekend of Broadway's Best Musical Tony Award winners and nominees. And then also we've got coming up here starting on Sunday, it is the annual Bubba Fest Bike Fest Tour. We have this retired sergeant, and his name is Bubba, and he does these tours from Key Largo to Key West. They get about 200 participants taking that week-long popular biking and resort camping experience, starting in Key Largo and ending up in Key West. Now, another mode of transportation, Ed, coming up here starting on Sunday. It is the week-long annual Key West World Championship Offshore Powerboat Races. And I'll tell you something, we know about Indianapolis and what it means to motorsports. Well, Key West is the Indianapolis of the offshore powerboat racing world. Now, the events start on Sunday with a big boat parade down Duval Street, meaning that the boats are on trailers, by the way. And then the racing action begins in Key West Harbor on Wednesday. Race day one is on Wednesday. The second set of races are on Friday, and the finals are on Sunday. These boats run through Key West Harbor at speeds up to 140 miles an hour. The action is absolutely tremendous, and there is no better venue to watch offshore powerboat racing than in Key West. Now, also in Key West, getting back to a little more of the traditional cultural activities, the Red Barn Theater, November 7th to the 24th, is presenting Person of Interest. And it is a new suspense-filled play done by Key West playwright and director Bob Bowersox. Let's do a little bit of food, Ed. Key Largo, November 8th, the Key Largo Chamber of Commerce's 31st Annual Cook-Off. Mm. It's a culinary competition. It's held at the Holiday Inn in Key Largo, open to professional and amateur cooks and chefs, as well as these young aspiring chefs. Now, a number of different categories, including soups and chowders, appetizers, main dishes, sides and salads, and desserts. The event starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. The public sampling starts at about 7 p.m., a great opportunity to taste some of those indigenous flavors of the Florida Keys.
I'll take one of each, please.
And then we're going to let you go ahead and still stay in Key Largo. That same weekend, November 8th to the 11th, another opportunity to join in a coral restoration workshop. It's a great opportunity to learn about coral reefs and actually help replant new coral. And Ed, that coral is so important to one of the most popular activities in the Florida Keys. Of course, we are talking about sport fishing. And, you know, I like to fish myself. And I really enjoy it when my spouse or my wife gets a chance to go along. But, you know, I'm a real serious fisherman. So I try really hard to sort of counsel my wife in terms of the appropriate techniques and how to tie knots. But every once in a while, I just sort of go off the deep end when something doesn't get done right. And that's the purpose of the annual Ladies Let's Go Fishing. It's a Keys Fishing University for Women. It's November 9th to the 11th. And by the way, it's billed as the No Yelling School of Fishing. I never yell at my wife.
Of course.
Because I can't yell that back. But anyway, it's a really great opportunity for female anglers to learn how to fish or to perhaps polish their skills. It'll be held out of Tavernier with fishing going on in the Alamorada area. Actually, Ed, my wife had the opportunity to participate last year, and it was just a really great event. And I'll tell you something, for all the ladies out there, if you're interested in learning about fishing or maybe just sort of polishing your skills, this is a great opportunity. Again, it's the Ladies Let's Go Fishing, November 9th to the 11th in Tavernier. November 10th in Alamorada, the 4th annual Bay Jam Reggae Festival. This will be at Founders Park, and it's a free admission event, by the way. The gates open at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, shows from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m., again at Founders Park, and they would love for you to make a non-perishable donation for the food bank. Now, at another big event up in Key Largo, early that morning, Saturday, November 10th, the 4th annual Key Largo Bridge Run. The northbound lanes of the Jewfish Creek Bridge, it's about 1.25 miles long, will be closed to traffic. Now, southbound traffic will flow normally. Northbound traffic will go ahead and be diverted to Cardstown Road. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful opportunity to run either a 10K or a 5K or a half marathon on that 18-mile stretch over that Jewfish Creek Bridge. And it is open to all ages. And it's being held in conjunction with a health and fitness expo. And then let's go down to Key West, November 29th through December 2nd. It is the inaugural Key West Film Festival. Now, this will be showcasing films that exhibit excellence in storytelling. The festival's lineup will feature screenings and special events hosted at two different landmark venues throughout Key West. They include the Tropic Cinema and the San Carlos Institute. The four-day program, Ed, will be including more than 30 different films from different genres and categories, as well as a number of social events with filmmakers, actors, and also film lovers. Again, the Key West Film Fest, November 29th to December 2nd, down in Key West, of course. Marathon, November 30th to the 2nd of December, Christmas in the Keys. This will be headquartered at Hawks Cay Resort. And November 30th to December 2nd, back in Key West, the Fort Lauderdale Pirate Invasion. Arrgh! There'll be 3 days of piracy at Fort Zachary Taylor Historic State Park. It's going to be transformed into a British stronghold, defending the shores against the invasion of pirates. And then lastly, still in Key West, Art Key West, November 30th to the 2nd of December. It's a 3-day festival and art walk celebrating all of the arts in Key West: visual, performing, literary, film, musical events, performances, and exhibitions. The galleries will be having extended hours, and then there will be a number of art and culinary pairings at local restaurants as well. So many events in the Florida Keys. I don't have time to talk about all of them. So you should be going to the Florida Keys website, and that is at flakeys.com.
Andy Newman is the go-to man for any information about the beautiful Florida Keys. Andy Newman from the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Great weekend to you, sir.
And to you too, Ed.
I bet you'll go fishing.
I bet I will too.
More info about the American Red Cross Hurricane Sandy Relief Fund can be found online at redcross.org, and there'll be a benefit for the Footprints Foundation this Sunday at 4 p.m. at the Ritz-Carlton in the Grove. And two of the finest high school jazz bands in the U.S. will face off for a South Florida audience in an exclusive benefit concert this Sunday, November 4th at 4 p.m. at the Bienes Center for the Arts in Fort Lauderdale. Jazz bands from Dillard and the New World School of the Arts will show South Florida audiences what they've made of. And the Bienes Center is located at 2801 Southwest 12th Street in Fort Lauderdale. For more info, go to battleofthebands2012.org or call 877-733-3430. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner. And we'd like to thank our contributor, Andy Newman. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us at 305-995-2221 or email us your event information to info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.
Hurricane Sandy paralyzed New York.